Now, if you are a Tina Turner fan and you would love to see one of her concerts, then the people of the Midlands are in luck. Because on 23rd of January, Friday the 23rd, at Stafford Gatehouse Theatre, Totally Tina is around. And Totally Tina, better known or otherwise known as Justine Riddick, is the ultimate in Tina Turner tributes. Good morning, Justine.
Good morning, Dave. Lovely to hear your voice.
Yes, it's lovely to hear you too. Sounds as though I'm speaking to Tina already. How lovely that is. Yeah, it's look, you don't have to just listen to me and say, Dave Stringer's just saying she's great. But you've won loads and loads of tributes, haven't you?
Well, we've been really, really lucky with the awards that we've won over the years. And we started as humble little beings many, many moons ago, 17 years ago now, and we're still going strong. We love to say that we pay tribute to the queen of rock and roll. I mean, if you're going to pay tribute to anybody, who better than Tina Turner? It's a fabulous, electric, dynamic show.
Absolutely. So your show that you're putting on this season, you're doing a tour around the country and obviously elsewhere as well, because we're talking to you in Egypt today, aren't we? It is a brand new for 2026, isn't it?
Well, every single year we try and do little tiny custom twists, and we'll do different costumes and we'll do different video visuals. So if anyone comes to see the show before, you'll notice all the little changes. Obviously, with Tina not being with us anymore and we're losing our icon and our muse, and you know, we never have any new material, and she'd stopped touring in her 70s anyway. But there is such an enormous catalogue out there that it lets you look back into the years and all the different things she did and create new little looks and new medleys. And so we all like to change up things just a couple of little bits. You've still got all the massive hits that you're going to expect every single time. And there's always new faces in the cast. I mean, dancers are always disappearing and going off and, you know, starting families, and new people arrive, and then we have different musicians. So it's always a changing, fluid thing.
But in essence, what you're doing is, if Tina was still around and still touring, you're doing a show that she would probably have done. Is that true to say?
Exactly. So, I mean, you look at some of their concerts. I mean, we have to think about it as a non-captive Tina audience for people who aren't, like, massive fanatic fans. And so we have to make it, you know, easy enough for them to understand, think, oh, I recognise that song. I didn't know Tina did it. And whereas Tina could just do whatever she wants in a concert because everybody knew exactly who she was and what she'd done. But every year it does lend itself. I mean, I was just writing some pre-cab questions. I was deciding then, instead of having lots of different pictures of the band and everything that we've done over the years while the people are waiting for the show to start, we're going to do some questions on the screen. So I was looking back at some things, and one of the questions was, what are the three covers of the Beatles songs that Tina had performed over the years? And I did a quick Google to double check that my figures were right. I always knew that she'd done Help and Get Back It because it's in our medley, but I also Googled it and I found out she'd done Come Together as well. So it's things like that. So you put like a small Beatles medley in the show and you put Get Back, Come Together and Help all together, then you've got a little section of Beatles covers. So she might have done that in a concert, but she's definitely sung those on albums or live over the years.
Yeah, and the key thing there is what you've done is what I do as well in my job. You do your research, don't you? You make sure that everything is as right as you can possibly get.
As possible. I mean, one of the questions was how many albums has Tina sold over her career? And that's a bit of a question mark there, because they say upwards of 100,000, but most people say globally 200,000. And I thought, I don't even know what figure to start off with here. So it's best just trying to use our internet and see who's got the right answer. So I've given them a multiple choice one with that.
Right, well, I would never have guessed that, because I know she's the figure is phenomenal, isn't it? Now, with Tina, obviously it's the voice first of all, isn't it? And how did you manage to get the voice right?
It's lots of little inflections, listening to how she sings something. Originally, this voice was a soul voice I used to put on when I was doing Aretha Franklin and, you know, some soul tracks. And then it merged into 2002 when I was on Stars and Eyes, but I wasn't Tina. I said, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Anastasia. So Anastasia's sound is very similar to Tina's, but she does different things with her vowels. So like Anastasia would say, you survive, whereas Tina would just go, you survive. And your hands is like, belt it out, you know, it's guttural hair singing, but with a control that is like second to none, whereas you've got to listen to the little tiny inflections with each character that you're trying to pay tribute to. Like everything, my voice box and my body is not the same as Tina's. She was just being herself. I have to contort myself into the way that she moved. So, you know, it can be quite hard and it's quite strenuous on your vocal cords. But for me, it sort of lends itself to my type of singing, because I always love rock music and big power and soul music, blues and gospel. So it's something that I loved anyway. So I think I just listened to how she did it.
Yeah, once you've got the voice right, or as near right as you can possibly get, you obviously then have to think about what moves she'd have in a shows, and also the costumes, the look that she'd actually got. And so are you recreating the particular eras, or have you just decided, well,
no,
this is the type...
Not particularly. Yeah, when we first started, I looked at all the different hairstyles. I did a little bit, once again, another question I'm thinking of putting up there, why did Tina start wearing wigs? And it was due to the 1960s, she went to the hair salon, and she had a little mishap with her hair salon. And I think it was bleach, and it pulled out half of her hair. So they ran to a wig shop quickly and got wigs. And that's what started wearing wigs. And I looked at all the different wigs she'd worn over the years, and I tried every single type until I didn't look stupid in one of them. And the hair that I use is basically the last 10 years of her touring. So it's very curly, and it's very similar to my own hair, as opposed to the spiky wig or the long wig. So the same thing happens with costumes. I'm like 5'6". And I'm a totally different body shape to Tina, although everyone says I've got the same legs.
I was going to ask that. That was the next one.
Yeah, people do say, like, oh my God, the legs on you. Yeah, yeah. So I've got very, very long legs, but I'm short-bodied and I'm a little bit bustier than Tina. So I have to pick things that, you know, work for me. So I remember her saying once to Adrian Warren for the musical when I was watching a documentary, she said, don't try to be me, bring a flavor of me to the stage. So I have lots of fringing outfits, beaded fringe outfits, which look very similar to like Strictly Come Dancing. Then we'll have things that are sequined, very much how Vegas she is. So there's only, I think, twice in the show where I'm actually copying the costume that she's wearing. That's the red cloak in Afro Queen when she's on her concert doing that. The rest of the time, they're sort of dresses and leotards and things that make you go, whoa, yeah, that's definitely Tina. But she didn't necessarily wear exactly the same one as me. But every single outfit, for me anyway, for me, it has to be included, the giant 5-inch heels. Now, don't get me wrong. Tina's, the lovely story about Tina in the biography, she says, somebody asked her, how do you dance all night in those shoes that are so high? And she says, well, I have a custom mold made in my foot. And that mold is sent off to all the top designers. And a couple of months later, a shoe comes back, it fits my foot, and I can dance perfectly. But what I then say to the audience is, the problem is Primark don't have the same facility. So my shoes aren't custom mold, but they are very sparkly. I think my shoes are a little bit more sparkly than hers. She'd have real quality, high-end black shoes with the red sole, Christian Louboutin, whereas I have crystal shoes that match every single outfit that I've got. But they all include a 5-inch heel.
Yes, it has to, doesn't it? It just has to for Tina. Now, if you cast your mind back, it's 17 years and you first started in Liverpool, I think, first. Can you remember that first time you went on stage as Tina?
Oh, I can. Oh, the wig was absolutely horrendous. And I just had some sort of fringe dress on. And I was sort of like stamping around the stage. When I look back at those videos now, I realise how far the impersonation has actually come. And as I say, I don't really like calling it an impersonation, because I'm going into Tina mode when I'm singing, and when I'm out of Tina mode, I still talk in the American accent, but I talk about Tina. So it allows me to have a little bit of fun with the character and complain that my knees are hurting and things, because I'm telling everybody, it's me that's here. We're just remembering how great she was. So when I look back at all those videos and I realise how far the show has actually come, it makes me quite proud. But like everything, you always, I think of an artist, you're always looking at yourself and thinking, how can I improve that? You know, I was listening to a record the other day. We'd just got a little jukebox, not a big, fancy, really expensive one, but a jukebox that played records in our house. And I said, well, the first record that's got to be played on it has to be Tina one. So I got my picture disc of Private Dancer, and I started playing it. And I was listening to her singing I Can't Stand the Rain and Private Dancer. And I was thinking, ooh, I'm listening to that for a while. Well, why do that line slightly different? Why? Okay, I've got to change that. So I think you're always, every day, listening and tweaking and improving what you do. You can't help it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you talk about you've got your American accent going when you're on stage, but you do have a meet and greet, don't you? And lots of audience engagement too during the show. Do you stay in character when you're meeting, or do you think, are you just
doing? No. Character only happens when the music starts. And for every song, that's when it becomes trying to embody Tina and bringing the flavor of her music to her fans. As soon as I stop singing and I'm talking in between songs, or if I'm in the audience, once we do meet and greet, I'm completely back to Justine from Liverpool. So a lot of people actually come up to us and meet and greet and go, oh my God, you're not American. I thought you were American. And I go, no, you're just meeting the normal me now.
Yeah.
But that's the bit where I can really, you know, get to know the people, the show, what they think of it, take loads of photographs with them and just, you know, really get to know these people. So that's the nice bit where it can just turn back into being me.
Just one quick word about your Stars in Their Eyes, really. It was a cult show. You obviously won it as Anastasia. What was the experience like? How did you get into the Stars in Their Eyes? And what was it? What's different about, you know, when it's actually filmed and what goes out on TV?
Right. Okay. So I was 15 years on the Cabaret Circuit, just as myself, Justine, around the Northwest Circuit. And I auditioned as Anastasia because I'd heard her on the radio and I thought, whoa, that really sounds like me singing. So I knew I had a good shot with this one. I got right through. And obviously not to destroy the magic of Stars in Their Eyes, because obviously we go through the smoke, and in seconds, with the Granada magic, we came back through the door looking just like the characters. So yeah, it was there was a little tiny little bit of gaps in between each act. So we'd record our interview and then we'd immediately go through the smoke and wave, and then all the other people would record their interviews. While they're having their interviews, we would quickly get changed and then we'd turn around and we'd come back to the door. My transformation was only about 15, 20 minutes. It wasn't much. So mine was quite quick. But I'd like to say it was as quick as it looks on TV, but... Yeah. Let's say it was special fairy magic.
We guessed it couldn't be that magic. Anyway, but one last final word, coming to the end of my time, really, because the tributes that you've won have not just been for you as the performer, but they've also been for the act, haven't they? The whole performance. They've been for
definitely
lighting, choreography, sound, you name it. You've got awards for it. So that shows that it's going to be a dynamic, fantastic show, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. Well, there's 10 of us on stage. There's 4 dancers, with over 32 costume changes, and we've got 5 musicians who do all the duets and all the actions and all the fun with us, the same thing that Tina's guitarist and saxophonist did. So we put a lot into making it look as much like one of her concerts, or a mixture of all of her concerts, as possible. And it's all about everybody shaking their tail feathers.
Absolutely.
You know, the end of the day, we want you walking out those doors feeling fabulous.
And the great thing is that when they walk out, or close their eyes during the concert, it is Tina, really, isn't it, up there? It isn't Justine, it's Tina.
I mean, they say that to me, and that is the ultimate goal. But at the end of the day, I'll always say there's only ever going to be one Tina Turner, and she's no longer with us, but we can still remember her the way that she was, and we can pay tribute to her greatness. So.
Well, there's only one Tina. There's also only one Justine, and I'm so happy that I managed to catch up with you. And even though you're so far away, thanks ever so much for your time. Hope you really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. It was fabulous. I hope to see you there.